was in reference to me. So we came to something that was going to be a little easier for you to see me and me to see over. So I am really excited about being here. You know, something that has been going on inside of me is just, where are we? What's going on in our lives? Last time I spoke, which was 3 weeks ago, I spoke about waiting and trusting. And today, I just want to first give a testimony of how something that God has been showing me personally in my own life. You know, we have to understand that Satan has times when crisis, things that you're going through in your family and all of those kind of things and financial, whatever it may be, how those things keep us from really being able to break through and do what God is really calling us to do. And so the Lord showed me how it's a time waster. After you pray for these situations, after you give these situations to God, you have to walk away from them. And you have to say, God, I trust you in this. I trust you with this. I trust you with my money. I trust you with my family. I trust you to bring healing. Because after that, when you spend months and months and months and months on these situations, all of a sudden you look up and 4 or 5 months has gone by and you have been captivated by one thing. And in that captivation, you have missed a million things that you could have done for the kingdom. And I saw that is the plan of Satan for the body of Christ, to let crisis after crisis after crisis come. And when those crises come, then you are devastated by those crises. So the person over here is not accepting Christ. The person that you meet on the street is not there. You are just bogged down with life's crisis. And so I'm learning and I'm going through in my life and I'm saying, Father, after I have prayed, after I have laid it before your feet, I'm leaving it there and walking away. Because it can become something that just keeps you preoccupied for a long time. I'm speaking today, not on that subject, but I'm giving that testimony because my family just went through a crisis on Friday. And after the crisis, it left my nephew on his way to the hospital, hanging on to his life. And we have not heard totally how things are going to fare for him. We don't know. We know that he's on life support and things are pretty bad. But I'll tell you what I told my sister. I prayed, she called, I prayed, she called again, I prayed, and she called again, and I prayed. And then the next time she called later on Saturday, and I said, Kim, we have prayed. Now we're going to trust God. And I said, and we're just going to wait and see how God works this thing out for Jeremy. We're going to see how God orders the steps of this. And as I was talking to her, I began to talk to her a little bit about what I was going to speak on because of the fact that all of these different things come into our lives. We are getting ready to go into 2011. And I want each of us today to think about just a couple of things. I want you to think about the fact of repositioning yourself in God. A time, every year, people make New Year's resolutions and they don't keep them. So I'm not talking about a resolution. I'm not talking about making a commitment to something that you are not going to keep. I'm asking you to think about where you are in your Christian walk right now. Where am I in my Christian walk? And then what I'm asking you to do is to think about the things I'm going to lay out to you and take it to the next level. Because we can't stay the same. Nobody does. Children don't stay the same. The children I held in the baby room when the daycare first came into being, when the daycare first opened, those children are now calling my name. And running to me. And they are grabbing me by the leg. And even as the year goes on, some of them will be moving into the 3- and 4-year-old program. And they started out in the baby room. If you are not growing, you are stagnant. I remember holding my son and being so excited. And I thought, oh, God, I would like for him to stay this size forever and ever. And the Lord showed me just a quick flash of what it would be like. And I said, never mind, Lord. Never mind. Let him grow. It's a crazy wish. Let him grow. We're talking about repositioning ourselves in God. And I want for a moment for you not to think about, well, my wife needs this, my son needs this, my daughter needs this. I want you to think about yourself. When God began to speak to me about this, I thought about myself. Where am I? To reposition means to put to place anew, to remove a foot and to put it in a new position. To remove a hand and to put it in a new position. To find a new spot to place yourself. Because the old one is not working. So you've got to reposition yourself. I took the children rock climbing, on those little rock walls in Waldorf one year. And I remember the man kept yelling to my son, you have to reposition yourself. You have to take that foot and move it up higher. And I remember what my son said, if I move this foot, I'm going to fall. And he said, no, you won't. You're going to fall anyway if you don't hurry up and move your foot. We can have that feeling that if I don't move, that if I just stay right here, I'm not going to fall. But if I move my foot, I'm going to fall. Excuse me. The Bible says, the thief cometh not. But to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Lord knows where you are and he knows who you are. And if you begin to reposition yourself, the Lord didn't come to let you fall. He came to give you abundant life, Zoe life, new life, vibrant life. The Lord came to give you quality of life. And if you reposition yourself away from what you're involved in, away from what has captivated your heart, some people in life, I have been there, I have done that, so I'm talking to me, the choir. I can tell you that there are some situations in life that have captivated me. And the Lord had to drag me away from the situation and said, enough, reposition yourself. So you can see me. Sometimes repositioning is just simply taking your focus off of over here and looking over here so you can find Christ. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, and I'm going to kind of zoom through these verses because I'm trying to get somewhere. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord, your ways. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A question came through one of my family members, and they said, why does Jesus seem to do something for somebody and doesn't do it for someone else? And I told my aunt, I said, you know, I'm not sure what the total answer is, but I do know this. I said it has a lot to do with what you believe. It has to do with how you're going to stretch out. I said, and it also has to do with the fact of what you're really asking God for. My cousin went in for surgery. She was having a transplant. They said there was no reason for her to pass away. But she passed away on the table. We really believed that she was going to be healed. It wasn't until months later that her husband told us that right before Sharon went in for surgery that she said, you know, honey, I'm just tired. I'm absolutely tired of fighting. I have had sickle cell anemia for years and it's eaten up everything in me and I'm just tired and I just want to go home. So it depends upon what the Lord has for that person and what that person will accept from the Lord and how the Lord wants to work it out. I don't know the answer for that, but what I know is that if you are here and how he began to reposition after the death of my cousin, I can tell you what happened in our family. What began to happen is he began to reposition some people. And this year, for the very first year, my cousin and her husband, which is the one that passed away's sister, and another cousin and her husband and my aunt and my uncle are all sitting in Franklin Jensen's church, and they are all spirit-filled from what God did right there. I don't understand the plan, but I understand that God is sovereign and that he does it. And this year, our family is not the same. When you hear the conversations that we talk about, it's different than what's been going on over the years. He's still working because he's got a lot of work to do in one family. Just like some of you can say he's got work to do in yours, but he's working. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So stop thinking that, God, if I let go of everything, if I just say, Father, this part that I think I'm holding up. You ever felt like an atlas and you're holding up a part by yourself? And if you let it go, everything will fall apart. Let it go. Because his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. He actually has it in the palm of his hand. He's waiting for you to let it go. Sometimes we feel like I'm just holding it. I got this whole thing and I got to hold it. He told me to walk away, back up, let go, Robin. I've got this. And when I did, and as I do, he shows me how much of it he really has. In 2 Peter 1, 5-8, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, attentiveness. Listen to what he's asking us to do. Add to your faith virtue, desirable qualities. He's asking you for desirable qualities. And to virtue, knowledge. He's asking you for understanding. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. If we're going to reposition ourselves, we need self-control. We need attentiveness. We need desirable qualities. We need understanding. And then he says to temperance, to the patience, staying power. How many of you today know you need staying power? To stay committed. Just to stay. God, I trust you. I give you everything. And Lord, no matter how you work this out, I'm not moving. I think that I go back to my earlier walk and relationship with the Lord in the first church I accepted Jesus Christ in. And I have to tell you something. I accepted Jesus in my youth, and the church I came from, we would call it a baby church in the sense that their main ministry is to see people get saved. After they get saved and they've been saved several years, they really need to go to another church because this whole ministry is about being saved. Well, let me explain something that I realized about coming from that particular church. That with that, they brought some absolutes into my life. Because they preached salvation to the point that I recognized there is nothing. There is nothing for me to look back to. And when people talk to me and they say, you ever think about going back? What am I going back to? What is back there that I want to go back? I don't have a desire to go back. I always have a desire to go forward. That is a closed door that has disappeared because I desire to live holy. They taught us about prayer in that church. And where over the years people have come to me and talked about prayer. But I'm going to tell you, they taught us about prayer over all of those years to the point that it has been no struggle for me to get up every single solitary morning to pray. No struggle. Why? Because they taught us about prayer. Prayer has not been a struggle. Where in other things in life, as I grow up, and I'm not bragging about me, I'm bragging about Jesus. There was a foundation that was planted. I'm asking you today to reposition yourself on a foundation that some of these practical things in Christ, like walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and praying, stops being a struggle because we've got a work to do. There are some people that are hanging by a thread, and they are waiting for you. Every one of us have a harvest. And God strategically planted you at your jobs for a harvest. He strategically planted you in your neighborhood for a harvest. And if you are always broken down, dilapidated, and doubting, how can you bring in the harvest? This is what God has shown me. He says, everywhere you go, I'm going to bring in a harvest if you're willing to open your mouth. So he's asking us to have the staying power, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, righteousness. And then he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. If you feel like I can't do this, or you feel barren, or you're feeling unfruitful, go back and get the diligence, the attentiveness. Go back and get desirable qualities. Go back and get understanding. Go back and get self-control. Go back and get the staying power. And go back and get the godliness and walk in righteousness. And then you won't be unfruitful. There's a dying world out there. I am so grateful in these last few weeks for every single solitary person that God has planted in my family's path. This is just the greatest miracle of all to me. And those of you that know and know me and know how hard I pray for my son and I believe for my son, the new next door neighbors just moved in at his dad's house. And they are pastors of Hope Pentecostal Church. And they have two sons, two. They're the exact same age as my son. And this morning, my son is at Hope Pentecostal Church because they told him he could come and go to church with them. Hallelujah. My God is sovereign because my son has been out of church every Sunday that he's not here. But now my son will be in church. My God is so sovereign to me. And I am saying, God, I, as a mother, I am so grateful to you for what you have done, because you have heard a mother's prayer. I'm telling you, God is everywhere. And even what God wants to do oftentimes is adjust our attitude and repositioning yourself. Instead of whining, instead of pouting, instead of throwing tantrums and all of those things, God, you are not working. You are not doing it my way. He wants to deal with your attitude. Reposition your attitude. What is it that you're trusting God for? Reposition your attitude. Don't throw a tantrum. I told you, I've been there. God, when are you going to do it for me? How come you keep doing it for them? Where is? And the Lord doesn't care about that stuff. Reposition your attitude. 1 Peter 2:1 says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put away those things. Adjust your attitude. God doesn't work in those things. He doesn't work in our tantrums. He doesn't work in us walking around saying, I don't know why he didn't do it for me. I don't know why it took this long, but hallelujah, it's happening. My son is in church, and I'm not there, but God is. Hallelujah. So I give him glory. I want to offer you to reposition yourself into active duty as a Christian, active duty as a servant in a church. I want to give you a testimony, a real quick testimony. Today is a little different because I'm sharing something. These are things that I've been through. You know, in a local church, you can get hurt because we're all rubbing up to each other. We're rubbing next to each other. We are family. And how many know that family hurts each other sometimes when they don't mean to hurt each other? Well, I have grown up in the church, so I definitely have grown up in the body of Christ. And over the years, I have been hurt. And so when you get hurt, you develop this hard exterior. And this is what you say. It will not happen again. So I said that. So when I went to the next church, I said, they don't have to worry. I don't want to know anybody. Just going to go to church, smile, and get out of there. When he says amen, my feet are going to run. Because that's the easiest way to avoid a lot of junk. And you see, you begin to put up all of these walls and all of these things. And so, you know, for a little while it seemed like it worked. And then the Lord said, enough. You're going to get involved. And I said, I don't want to get involved. I just want to go to church. And he said, I didn't call you for that. You will get involved. And you will go through hurt again. And you will have times that your heart aches. But my heart aches because of you. And I have gone through a lot of things just because of you. And you have, in essence, at times nailed me back to the cross by the way that you have lived. Boy, just like it's quiet for you, I was quiet. And then I began to think about some of the things and some of the ways that I live my life. God is calling you back to active duty. You have gone through your things. You have gone through your hurts. You have stood for things and it didn't happen. And you have suffered some abuses in the body. And you have had some opinions that were not correct. God says, come back. Welcome back to active duty. Because he needs people that will go into the vineyard. He needs people that will draw other people into Christ. It's not about you. And he is reaching out today and he is saying, I planted you where you are and you have got to draw the people in. And you can walk around as a secret agent and not want to say anything. But I'm going to tell you it's not going to work because God is asking you to reposition and come back into active duty. He called me back to active duty. He said reposition and come back into active duty. This is what the scripture says in Proverbs 28:1. The wicked run away when no one else is chasing them. But the godly are as bold as lions. Now think about that. The wicked run away and nobody's chasing them. Why are you running? You're in Christ. You don't run. You don't retreat. We're as bold as lions. So your track shoes, if you're not running towards the people that need it, dust them off and put them away because you're back in active duty. Reposition yourself in reading his word. In Psalms 119 and 105, it says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is that part. Notice that in that scripture, the understanding of this has always baffled me. Because he does not light the whole path up so you can see down the road. He lights up sections. So I walk here. He lights up this section. I walk here and the light is shining for that section. And when I get ready to walk there, the light is shining for that section. He lights it up in sections for a reason because he wants me to follow him. He doesn't want me to try to get out ahead of him. And every time I ever have, I've always had to come home crying because he really will lead you. The Bible says that he'll lead you and guide you into all truths. But you first have to hear him. You have to be led by him. And the first beginning of that is for you to begin to read his word. really coming to a place of where you're just laying before the Lord and you're saying, God, I may not understand everything that I'm reading, but I'm going to be committed. I'm repositioning myself. And you know what? I say this often and people say, well, thank you for saying that. Don't set yourself up for failure. If you are the midnight queen or king, read at midnight. If you are the early morning person, that's me, read in the morning. Anything I read after 9 o'clock, I can't tell you what it says. Because I am not the midnight queen. I have no concept of what goes on after a certain time at night. I'm in bed. But you know what? I am good in the morning. I can get a couple of hours of sleep, and I'm ready to go for the whole day. I don't require a lot of sleep right now for whatever reason, and I can go all day. But at a certain time at night, I'm no good to you. You can talk. I don't even know what you're saying. It's like I'm incoherent. What am I saying to you? Find the time that you can read. How much time should I read? I don't know. Read. And as you read, he'll begin to extend the time. He'll begin to show you how to get into it. But let me explain something. Read. Let's reposition ourselves. Let's not use for an excuse that I can't do it. This year, coming up, 2011, reposition yourself. Fasting. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? It's time for some fasting. Some time of putting away your plate, because there are some people and the yokes need to be broken in their lives. People need to be free. Some people actually need to be free. And I am so grateful for the people that were willing to fast, to give up their plates for situations and circumstances in my life. And I'm grateful for the times that I've given up my plate in my own life. And in that of the other, and that in the life of others. It's time. How long do I fast? Start out on a baby fast. Just say, God, I'm just going to miss breakfast. That's not a fast. Yes, it is. I'm just going to miss breakfast, Lord, and I'm going to fast till lunch. And during that time, I'm just going to, throughout my workday, whisper to you and just listen to you. And then, Father, the next day, I'm going to miss breakfast and lunch. And maybe it may take you a couple of weeks to build up to that. You know what, Lord? I can't do the whole thing. Then I'm going to do an Elijah fast. I'm going to eat and stick to just fruits and vegetables. And Father, I'll take that week, that 2 weeks, and I'm going to do fruits and vegetables. And during this time, I'm going to seek your face. Lord, I'm going to fast from television. I'm going to fast from all of the things that distract my day from you. Start out on the baby fast. Start out committing just one moment to the Lord. Because I'm telling you, if we're going to be effective in 2011, we have got to have some prayer and fasting. We have got to reposition ourselves to be empowered by God. The next thing, prayer, fasting, praying. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. He didn't say seek things. He said seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think about in our seeking process, it's easy for us to seek when crises come. But what about if we had a cushion that we didn't just seek in crisis, but we developed a relationship where we're talking to God every day? Where we're really beginning to stretch out on the Lord every day. When you get in crisis and you can't utter a word, he'll remember what you already said. Anybody ever been in a crisis where it seemed like you couldn't utter a word? He remembered, didn't he? And he met you at your need. Praise and worship. I love this part about praise and worship because up until the time I went to Bible college, I never had a beautiful way of explaining this until I went to Bible college. Because I hear people say all the time, well, I praise God differently. And so I don't jump around, scream and holler. And that doesn't mean that I don't praise the Lord. I worship differently. Well, I went to college in Pennsylvania, and this was the neatest thing I had ever seen and been a part of in my life. All of us gathered at this little college in a rural area, and we were coming from all types of background. There were Afro-Americans, there were Hispanics, there were Dominican Republic, there was all type, you name it, we were all there. And when we got into the worship service, they were coming from Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and all types of background. And this is what Dave Wilkerson said as the president of the Bible College. He said, it does not matter the way in which you want to worship God, but when we go to prayer, we're going to worship. And whatever way you worship Him, worship Him. And I'm telling you, there was like electricity that roamed through this building. And in one corner, there was a dancer. And she was tearing the corner up. I mean, her feet were moving faster than lightning. And in another corner, there was a lady that looked like she was a statue and she was saying nothing, but the tears were just falling. There was a man that had laid prostrate in the aisle. And I don't know, he wasn't saying anything, but he was just there. There were people all over the room. The power of God fell. People were healed. God did His job. We don't all have to be carbon copies. All we have to do is get in the presence of the Lord. Reposition yourself so that God can move in our services. We all have to do it. The goal is repositioning so God can move. You don't have to be somebody you're not. Just come into the presence of the Lord. And it was beautiful. And everybody was worshiping. Psalms 95, 1 and 3 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is great. Is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalms 95 and 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalms 96, 1 through 4 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Shew forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathens, His wonder among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 63 and 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Yes. Hallelujah. We have this opportunity, this awesome opportunity, watching the 700 Club and seeing people in different parts of the country go into buses and go into places where they are hiding to worship the Lord. And here in America, we have been given this awesome opportunity to just lift our hands up and say, hallelujah, God, I thank you. What an awesome thing we have to be able to just worship the Lord. We're not arrested because we're thanking the Lord. Isaiah 43:21 says, this people have I formed for myself that they shall shew forth my praises. I love this, John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I have to tell you, I could run. Hallelujah. I'm just all excited about this worship thing. Just that opportunity to thank him for all that he's done for me. It becomes personal when I think of worship. You see, worship to me is not corporate, even though we do it on a corporate level. Worship is recognizing that I was once homeless, but God has given me a place to live. Worship to me is recognizing that I was broken down and dilapidated, but Jesus Christ saved me. Worship to me is I can stand and say, look at what my Father has brought me from, and look at where my Father is taking me. Hallelujah. I can look at worship and see that. So when I get in the presence of an awesome God, there's worship. Reposition yourself. Begin, you know, Pastor Orr, I couldn't remember who, Brother Hernandez? Garcia? Brother Garcia. One of them gave us a challenge a little while back, and you may know which one. I tried to think about it the whole night, but I said I couldn't think of who said it. But one of them said to go back and write down all the things God had done for you and the things you were thankful for. Well, I went home that day, and I began the list. And every couple of days, I kept writing. And every other couple of days, I would write some more. And I'm still writing. God has been better to me than I've been to myself. I'm telling you, when I look at that list, and I think of where he's brought me from and where I am today. How many of you can say right now that God has been good to you? How many of you can testify to the fact that where you were yesterday, you're not even there today? Because he's been better to you than you've been to yourself. My God is awesome. When I think of the next part of repositioning yourself. If you fall in line with these things, the next thing is hearing the voice of God. God speaks. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living, exciting, wonderful God. And being different is okay. Being different is okay. I think I've been different most of my life, so it's okay. It really is. I've gotten to the point where being different is really okay. When I go places and people say things, I say, it's okay. Well, guess what? God speaks. And you need to focus yourself in 2011 on hearing the voice of God. Really hearing God speak to you. Not someone else only, but to you. Something really neat. We were in a store a couple of years ago, and I had just gone back home to New York, and I was in a store, and I'm standing in the store, and this is exactly the way it happened. I'm at the register, and I'm paying for some shoes, and I'm getting ready to leave, and the Lord said, don't go to the right, go to the left. And I'm standing there, and I'm saying, but Lord, I wanted to go to that clothing store over there that was there, and he said, go to the left. So I'm standing there and trying in typical Robin fashion, trying to argue with God. And so he said, I said, go to the left. So I go off to the left, and all of a sudden, there comes a man running from the right all the way down, and he runs straight up the middle, and he's got a gun in his hand, and he is running out of a store that he has robbed. I don't know. Had I gone to the left, I could have been in the movement of it all. I don't know what store he came from. I never went back to look. But here I am, and God is saying, go to the left. I have learned, and I'm learning to listen. I'm learning to really listen, saying, God, order my steps. That sounds so simple to you, but order my steps. Because sometimes we get ahead of God. We are running and we're just doing, and we just think we need to listen to God. I have something that I want her to show. But before she does, I want to explain this to you, why I had her show this. The part that I found on the news is the part that where she is talking and telling you what happened as a gentleman comes into her store. And what the reason why this is so important is because I think we don't realize the power that is within us when we have Christ Jesus. And I'm really asking you all to be subject under the power of the Lord and listen and hear and know that you have authority in Christ. It's going to be important in these last days. It's going to be important that we recognize that we are not alone. There is more things happening than just a little. And we have got to come to a point in our walk and our relationship that we realize we have authority in Christ Jesus. Can you play that? Okay. Well, let me read this scripture. In hearing the voice of God in John 8:47, it says, "He who is of God hears God's words." He speaks to us. And if we're of God, he speaks to us. In 1 Kings 19:11-13, it says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and ripped and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice." The Lord speaks. And in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep know my voice, and they listen." They can hear. "And I know them, and they follow me." John 10:5, I'll read this and then let you go, okay? Let you do that. John 10:5, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Go ahead.
He comes and starts, you know, "This is a robbery. Give me your money." And I still thought it was for fun or something. You know, it just wasn't registering. And I just planted. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my store right now." He said, I want your money." And I said, "You're not getting it. Get out of my store. I bind you. By the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you get out of my store."
And she said, "Get out of my store." And that's when he pointed the gun at me and said, "Get down." And I remember thinking that I'm not getting down the floor.
And she backed up and I said, "No, you get out of my store now." And it was just like this whole store filled with the power of God. But it was just electrified and powerful. And he just started backing off.
Thank you.
You see him come through the door, he puts the gun up, he's already got his gun up. My jaw drops every time I see it.
The police could not believe it.
I just think that, you know, God really intervened there.
All I know is he backed off because there was a tremendous power in here that we couldn't explain.
Amen. A tremendous power that we cannot explain. A lady from my church gave a testimony when I was growing up. I met two young kids, came up behind her. She was at the grocery store, and they came up behind her, and they told her not to look back, and they were going to take her purse that was right there as she was putting her groceries in, and she just thought to herself, "I'm not surrendering." And Cindy said, she said, "In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus." And she just kept saying it. And the kids took off and ran. and they left her purse. We have authority. Am I saying do that where someone is coming into a store and they've got a gun? No, I'm saying to you, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying to you, know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Reposition yourself. If you've been walking in fear and you've been walking in a place where you don't know who you are in Christ, reposition yourself and walk where you know who you are in Christ. I want to end with this. I want to end with charging the atmosphere. Now, is that a biblical term? No. Not the way in which I'm saying it. But I want to tell you something. In every situation in my life and in every situation that I've gone through, I go into places praying before I get there. I ask God to move in the midst of the place, in the midst of attitudes, in the midst of situations. I can only say to everyone that has ever started a new job and has ever gone any place where there's lots and lots of people, you have to charge the atmosphere before you get there, or there's just so much going on. You should be doing that before you leave in the morning to come to church. Begin to get into your own praise and worship. You know, the reason why praise and worship is so hard. I used to lead praise and worship services in my old church, my sisters and I. And praise and worship is hard. And you know why it's hard? Because a bunch of people that have been fighting all the way to church, looking for stuff, telling each other off, and all of those wonderful things, frustrated, come to church, and then you got to sing 15 songs before the hands go up. And before they even begin to say, thank you, Jesus. And if you sing another five, you get a little bit of motion. But if you charge the atmosphere at home before you come, if you begin to put on your music at home, if you begin to worship at home, if you begin to set the day and put everything out so that you are organized, let me tell you, the power and the presence of God will fall. And if we all come to church like that, there can be healing, there can be deliverance, there can be salvation. People will not sit in the services bound by the devil. Amen. Because the presence of God would be here. Hallelujah. Our pastor growing up did something, and I thought it was so crazy. For 2 months, he said, at the back door, when you come in, for the next 2 months, I want everybody that walks in that back door into the sanctuary to worship. I want you to stop at the back door, and I want you to worship. I want you to begin to praise the Lord and then come into the sanctuary. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praises. And I'm telling you, there was the greatest miracles that ever happened within our church. God desires to do something. He does not desire for us to come in with something and walk out with it. But if you've got to be primed, prodded, and picked up before, and you've come to church and all of that stuff has to happen, you often miss what God really wants to do. Get into that secret place. He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Get into the secret place. Allow the atmosphere to be stirred so that when you come out to the house of worship, God can do his perfect work. Amen. You know what? Because oftentimes we come out and so many things have to happen. And it's like a child that brings a big bag, a big duffel bag in with them. And it's full of things. And if you ask that child what they want, and it, maybe it's toys or something in this case, they're going to grab their bag and take it back out. But the only difference is ours is not toys. Ours is pain and hurts and aggravations and things that we need God to do. And oftentimes we don't even realize it, but because of the way we come into the sanctuary, when we leave out, we take those things, dragging them right with us. But if we could charge the atmosphere, Even if you would get here just a few minutes early and begin to charge the atmosphere, begin to get in the presence of the Lord and just let God begin to saturate you. Man, when praise and worship starts, it would be like a fire was lit and a cannon went off. God would begin to do his perfect work. I am ecstatic about what God's going to do. I see his handiwork. I'm ecstatic about what God's going to do in Riversong. I see his handiwork. I've been challenged over the years to every year, every first of the year, and I've said this before, I lay out and I say, Lord, I'm asking you to let me win X amount of souls for you this year. I was taught at Soul Saving Station in New York City. It's a church that deals with people coming to the Lord and being saved. And he said that if you don't set a goal of how many people you're going to minister to in a year's time and bring to the Lord, then those people aren't going to be won. You have to set a goal that you are going to win X amount of people to the Lord. And I set a goal every year. And I'm telling you, every year God has met the goal. Every year God has ministered. The Bible says this in Psalms 19 and 10, he that winneth souls is wise. It's time for you to set a goal this year coming up. Reposition yourself. I'm going to talk to my neighbor. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to say something at the bus stops. I talk to people everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I am willing to pray for people wherever I go. People say, you pray. I gave you a testimony before that a lady just walked up to me and she said, are you that lady that goes to that church over there on Route 4? And I said, yes. She said, well, there was a girl that was standing here and she said, you pray for people. And I said, well, yeah. And she said, will you pray for me? I said, yeah, let's pray. And we're in Walmart. And then the next thing I know, there's a lady standing next to her. She said, hey, will you pray for me too? Now, I didn't make a big show and scream and holler. I just prayed. The lady standing there, I prayed for her. I'm getting ready to go out the door. And the lady standing at the door that's supposed to check your ticket, she said, will you pray for me too? So I prayed. Because all they want is for God to do something in their lives. Everywhere you go, there should be a spiritual badge that shines from Christ that says, I'm winning souls. What was your goal this year in winning souls? How many have experienced the peace that you have experienced all year? Some are a little harder than others. But you know what? You can love them into the kingdom. Reposition yourself. Reposition yourself. Everyone stand to their feet. And I just want to give you a moment. I just want to give you a moment. The praise and worship singers are out. But would you just play Everlasting Life, the one that you just got through playing? I want to challenge you. At this moment, and don't worry about the scriptures that were up there. At this moment, I want to challenge you. I really, really, really believe that Christ is just calling you to a repositioning. And I'm going to ask you for just a moment, if you are here and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you say, I don't know this man that you talked about. I want you to come down and we want to pray with you. Accepting Christ in your life is not this weird thing that happens and makes you weird. But he sure does bring about a lot of peace that you don't have. And the things you worry about on every day, every time you turn a corner, you recognize that there's somebody bigger walking with you. The fears that you carry throughout the day, you learn to cast them because you learn how much he loves you. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's the difference in salvation. We have someone to give all of our problems and cares to that will change our life, that will make our life fresh and new. You're not alone. I'm going to ask you for just a few moments to come down to the altar, those that will, and begin to commit on your own for the reconditioning, repositioning of your life as you go into 2011. Come on down. Just move down forward and begin to pray on your own. Please come forward. Hallelujah.
Welcome to linger around the altars.